Soybeans tagged new contract highs this past week, but are they running out of steam, or can wheat unlock further strength for soybeans and corn to the upside in June? We'll discuss that and more today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. This is Dave Dickey. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Brian Hoops, president of Midwest Market Solutions in Yankton, South Dakota.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
Our panelists today are Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities, Brian Stark of the Andersons, and we welcome aboard Merrill Crowley of CNF Marketing. Let's open today's discussion with this question. The market has been increasingly volatile this spring, and last week was no exception as traders continue to digest every weather forecast on the lookout for a summer heat wave and a bias toward drier conditions. Given what you know about the market at the moment, what are your best risk mitigation strategies to either take weather out of the equation or use it to your best advantage? Clayton.
Well, it seems like this market is pretty intent, and probably rightfully so, on keeping a weather premium in it. And I think the way to play all this weather volatility, especially as Fridays keep coming up and those weekends are so gut-wrenching, is to kind of let the uncertainty work for you. We know as uncertainty creeps into a market, it tends to increase the risk premium, or in this environment, to rally prices. So I don't know. I'm very reluctant to chase breaks on the way down. It seems like for a person wanting to protect lower levels, the best way to do it is to introduce some option strategies that would protect yourself on a break where you'd sell an out-of-the-money call and buy maybe a slightly below-the-market put. But that way you can still kind of have your cake and eat it too. And if the market does continue to advance, you can still profit from it to some degree.
Today we welcome Merrill Crowley to our Commodity Week microphones. Merrill is a graduate of SIU with a BS in Ag Econ. He is part owner of CNF Marketing in Crescent City, and his dad and brother farm south of Thawville. Thanks for being with us today, Merrill.
Well, thanks for having me.
Your thoughts on risk mitigation strategies.
Well, we have gone ahead and priced about 40% of our beans, and we do have some long calls purchased at this time. We feel comfortable having that much sold ahead, and then we have the calls in position to help us gain on our previous sales.
Brian Stark, what's the current risk mitigation approach from the elevator side?
Well, from the elevator standpoint, Dave, we've recommended up to this point our customers being a third sold going into planting on corn. I think then, like Clayton suggested, I think the best way you can protect the upside and downside in such a volatile market that we're looking at here weekly now with the weather becoming such a big issue is to look at some type of a vertical call bull spread, an in-the-money call, out-of-the-money, selling and out-of-money, kind of trying to range yourself and or, like he said, using buying a put and selling out-of-the-money call. But at the same token, beans, a lot of us feel like they've got a lot of upward momentum based on the fundamentals. And I guess at this point, we're encouraging our customers to be patient because it doesn't seem like the bean market is going to become the new Cinderella. So I'd say if they're 20 to 25% sold, they're probably sitting in pretty good shape right now.
It's the beginning of a new month, and some analysts are saying the key to a June bull commodity move lies in the wheat pit. Certainly, wheat did its job of supporting the market in May. Does it continue to do so in June? And if so, Clayton, under what circumstances?
Well, the interesting thing in wheat is very much unlike corn and beans. It seems to have enjoyed these gains kind of without the help of the funds, and the funds are ever present in the corn and bean market. And yet, on Friday's Commitment of Traders report, it showed funds were really, as far as Chicago wheat goes, I believe, if I remember right, with futures and options, they're only long something like 11,000 contracts, which is really nothing. I don't know that I really believe that the wheat has to lead the way here. I mean, oftentimes this time of year, wheat's in its own world, and I don't know why it couldn't continue to be that way or go to that type of behavior. I think for right now, the rain situation over in Ukraine certainly seems to be on the top of a lot of traders' minds. If they were suddenly to get a lot of moisture, I think that would kind of nip this rally. And on the other hand, I wonder if Friday's technical strength in the wheat, really all week, if it awakes some fund interest in them jumping on board this thing, then that certainly could propel it a lot further.
July soybeans had a high on the week of 819.5, a low of 791.75. July soybeans finishing the week at 817.5, up 5 from last week. November, 847.25, up 5.75 from a week ago. Merrill soybeans made new contract highs this past week. New crop on Friday. And on monthly charts, there are friendly signals as well. Do beans now make a run toward $9, or have we topped and are in line for some sort of correction, and why?
If you'd asked me that yesterday, it looked like we had a reversal for a topping of beans. But with today's strength, I think you're going to see the possibility of them carrying through to about $9. As we discussed before, they don't usually stay in the $8 range very long, so if we're going to collapse, we're going to see it relatively soon. And I think the key to that, I think you're going to have to see rains in the south, in the Georgia area, in order for these things to have a reason to drop.
Brian, basis levels went nowhere this past week in the beans. Is there any reason from this point on to retain physical ownership of old crop?
Well, I think regardless of what the basis is doing, I think that they should if they have anything held on to. We have a historically high carryout, which would probably equate to $5 beans in a normal year, although the funds and everyone is looking forward to 08, just like we did with corn this past year during harvest, and looking at slashing the carryout, losing 6 to 8 million acres this year. The Brazilian real is at a six-year high in relationship to the dollar, meaning the South Americans' beans aren't worth as much at these levels. So something has to give. And, you know, tonight we're 787 at the elevator for beans. And who would have thought at a record carryout, fundamentally, we would see a chance to sell $8 cash for this year crop beans. So I don't see any reason why we wouldn't hold on to see if we can run higher.
July corn had a high on the week of 395.75, a low of 363.25. July corn finishing the week at 386.75, up 10.75 from last week. December, 383, up 8 from a week ago. Clayton, it was a volatile week for corn, but when it was all said and done, bulls did not achieve an upside objective of 393 the December basis. The 100-day moving average provided overhead resistance, and on lead monthly charts, July corn fell well short of its long-term uptrend line. Will June trading be similar to May, sideways and range-bound, awaiting acreage reports at the end of the month, or is a bust out in the cards?
Boy, that's an easy one. No, just kidding. June's an awful long month. I think we're going to have some severe volatility, probably, you know, both ways. Does seem like the corn market's getting a little tired of playing along here, as evidenced, you know, by Friday's action when you saw beans and wheat both so strong, and yet corn couldn't even close higher on the day. But the bigger picture, though, corn looks pretty powerful. I mean, we gapped higher on Thursday, maintained that gap with just an inside day on Friday, so I think the short term is extremely dependent on the weather picture. An awful lot of people are placing a lot of importance on rain, not only this weekend, but next week as well. If this weekend turns out to be a bust and the rains once again fail to materialize, I got to think this stuff's going to hit higher, and I think corn will reach new recent highs if that's the case.
At times this past week, commercials tried to bull spread the corn market to get old crop out of producers' hands. Eastern processors and rail terminals have bid up corn. Brian, should producers be taking advantage now of the basis play, given those dire warnings from many analysts about basis later this summer and fall?
I don't think so, Dave, because I think, judging by the interaction we've had from producers, most of them that still have corn sitting on farm are going to sit and wait what the weather brings during pollination. Obviously, this is a critical year. I think the processor, the end user, the rail market, they're all going to struggle to get corn into the pipeline in the month of June, because I really believe that the rest of the corn on the farm isn't going to move till July or August. So, yes, basis can collapse later this summer, but I think there's another month that it can stay on fire. In fact, since April 1, basis has improved 19 cents. It's just a firecracker right now. When you look at the Gulf, low tick at the end of March, it's 7 over CIF value. Now it's bidding 50 over. So I don't think it's done yet until we start to see more movement into the pipeline. And the only way that the end user can get that to happen is to let the basis bid up so they could force grain out of the commercial's hands.
July wheat had a high on the week of 530 and a half, a low of 488 and a half. July wheat finishing the week at 520 and three quarters, up 19 and three quarters from last week. The December 547, up 22 from a week ago. Merrill, world fundamentals for wheat seem to be well digested by the market. The uncertainty surrounds how much damage has been done by rain to the U.S. hard red winter wheat crop. What are you hearing?
Well, early yields out of Texas seem to be somewhat lacking. I've heard in the area of 30 bushel per acre. But I was talking to a gentleman from Kansas today. He's saying that southern Kansas, although has not gotten really into their harvest, is looking at yields in the 80 bushel range. And he said mainly the south, east, and west are looking good, but the center of the state, the wheat crop, is not quite as good.
Let's turn our attention to the Merck side. June live cattle had a high on the week of 91.82 and a half, a low of 90.27 and a half. June live cattle finishing the week at 90.80, down 25 from last week. August feeders finishing the week at 111.45. That's up 3.55 on a lead option basis from a week ago. Lean hogs for June, a high on the week of 75.30, a low of 74.35. June lean hogs finishing the week at 74.87 and a half, up 15 from a week ago. Fun and spec selling and cash woes drove live cattle prices lower this week. Just as the barbecue season begins to heat up, August ran into resistance at the 40-day level and finished under its 100-day moving average. Merrill, we'll stay with you and ask if the trend will continue.
I think it's going to depend if you see these export markets starting to open up. And until we see those open up, we're going to have some trouble breaking this level.
And Clayton, let's turn to the speculation side of the market. Put on your speculator hat. And let me ask you, what is your best bet at the moment for any commodity?
Think about that one. Actually, I guess I'd go with a little bit of a contrarian view here right now. Seems like the world seems to be getting more and more bullish beans, and I think our truly tight potential carryover still lies in the corn market. So I would in some way, shape, or form look at a way of being long corn and short beans myself.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The big weather news this week in Illinois was the rain that came over the Memorial Day weekend and again toward the end of this week. Over the last 7 days, much of Illinois picked up from 1/2 inch to more than 1 inch of rain. The southern quarter of the state was the general exception to this, as rainfall there was less than 1/2 inch and more spotty. This May was very dry across Illinois, with many areas receiving less than half the normal May rainfall. The active weather pattern in the Midwest this week, producing the showers and thunderstorms, was welcomed by both agricultural producers and gardeners across the state. Temperatures continued on their above normal course this week, and we ended the month with temperatures running 4 to 5 degrees above the May normal. The big contribution to that departure was high temperatures. We had more than half the days of May with highs 80 or above in many areas of Illinois. Unsettled weather this weekend will spill into the early part of next week as the upper low over the Great Lakes slowly exits the region. That will keep alive the possibility for scattered showers and thunderstorms. Another cold front pushing through Illinois the last half of the week will bring an increasing chance for showers and thunderstorms across Illinois. Temperatures will be back down to near normal levels for most of the week, with highs in the 70s north to the low 80s south and lows in the 60s. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
This is Dave Dickey, and our panelists today are Merrill Crawley, Brian Stark, and Clayton Pope. Joining us today by phone is Brian Hoops, president of Midwest Market Solutions in Yankton, South Dakota. He is a regular contributor to Commodity Week. Thanks for being with us today, Brian.
Well, I always appreciate the opportunity to speak with you, Dave.
We hear that the wheat crop in your neck of the woods is tremendous. Is that so? And if so, what are you telling your clients about wheat strategies?
Well, we're kind of in a unique situation. We have spring wheat and winter wheat in our area. So looking first at the winter wheat, we had in our area in southern South Dakota, we had a great winter for winter wheat, very good emergence, good stands, good heading, and then we expect some very high yields. And if you look at the spring wheat, we're off to a very good start. Most of the wheat got planted in pretty good shape, a lot of moisture in this part of the country. And so that wheat has really taken off and has grown. We've seen not extremely hot temperatures like the Eastern Corn Belt has, maybe a little bit milder, a little bit more rainfall, but lots of sunshine. So the spring wheat's off to an excellent start as well. From a marketing standpoint, I think, you know, the biggest thing that we are telling our clients what to do with their wheat is to, anticipate some upside potential to go into the summer. We really look at the world ending stocks being extremely tight for wheat. We anticipate that the world will come to the U.S. for their world wheat needs. Egypt tendered on Friday afternoon for some wheat. It's likely they could take a token from the U.S. And it could be just the start that the U.S. Wheat could be in the real driver's seat here post-harvest as far as a rally potential on demand. So we anticipate there will be some upside potential despite the high spring wheat ratings.
Questions from our panel. Clayton Pope.
Hey, Brian, I was just curious. We've heard so much talk lately about how the basis has been on fire so much lately, and we were talking about that a few minutes ago. I was wondering what you were thinking in terms of what the outlook is for fall basis. I mean, are you thinking that the bottom could very well fall out kind of like it did year before last, or what would be your thoughts on that?
If you look at the corn, I almost have to separate between corn and soybean basis. If you look at the corn basis, ethanol plant demand has rocketed this basis levels here in the Western Corn Belt. We're seeing even basis and maybe even some inverted basis, which is completely unheard of from several years ago. I don't think your basis levels necessarily for corn are going to fall out of bed like they did several years ago. I think you may see a little bit wider basis, but so many of these ethanol plants are running shortages and have to look at importing corn possibly that the basis levels are going to stay extremely tight. And we look at our Western Corn Belt clients, there's a lot of livestock production here as well, and so that it's a competition for the ethanol industry. We just anticipate that the basis remains strong all the way through. Even a good harvest will really not make a big dent in that. Soybeans, a different story. We're looking at 70 cent under basis levels here, historically wide, probably continue to stay wide until we recognize or feel the effects of a tightening carryout that's anticipated by the USDA.
Brian Stark.
Hi, Brian. Just a question. Rumor we had been hearing in the marketplace today, and I don't know if you've caught wind of it yet, but there's some talk among a lot of people that the acreage number in corn may actually be closer to 92 million acres than 90.5. And I just wanted to get your thoughts if any of your clients up in the Dakotas had an opportunity to even expound more on corn planting if their weather allowed than normal. I guess that's what we're trying to compensate. The Western Corn Belt's been very wet during spring. The Eastern Corn Belt now is turned off dry. Maybe they offset each other, but that's kind of what we've been hearing, trying to kind of pinpoint that.
You know, in the western belt here, we've had some very wet acres in parts of South Dakota. Not that South Dakota is a big corn-producing area, but you almost need to have every area make a contribution if you're going to increase corn acres another 2 million. You know, we haven't heard anyone's backing off of corn acres whatsoever. We've heard, you know, there's some talk maybe we're going to have preventive planting or maybe corn switching over to beans, and that has certainly not been the case. Everyone who intended to plant corn, planted corn. In fact, in our area, despite looking at very strong winter wheat yields potential, we're seeing guys tear up their winter wheat and plant corn this spring because of the good pricing structure of corn compared to wheat when they're making their decisions.
Merrill Crawley.
Yeah, you were talking about the corn and soybean basis. How does it look for the July wheat basis? Is it going to fall off like it did last year, or do you think it's going to hold?
You know, I think it'll hold pretty well in there. You know, I think, you know, the USDA has been anticipating that we're going to see a decent winter wheat crop, and I certainly think that we probably will, but, you know, the demand is going to be such a strong indicator of from the world stocks this year that I think that the basis is going to have to stay fairly tight. You may see some areas where that basis widens out, but for the most part, if we can get the demand structure, I think we can. I think the basis will stay firm.
Clayton?
Brian, what is your feel for the general percent sold level is in your area out there as far as new crop goes? And I'm talking corn and beans here. You know, earlier it seemed like an awful lot of people jumped the gun maybe a little bit and were pretty aggressive in their sales, and now prices have gone up quite a bit and are maybe frozen a little bit. I mean, where do you think your area stands?
You know, I think most of our clients we talk with are in that 35 to 55, 60% area as far as cash sales are made. And I think they've also been pretty proactive this year about re-owning some of those sales, maybe at least half of what they've sold with some sort of an option strategy, so that they do have some upside potential. They recognize the upside potential is there, but they also have a good amount sold because they're, you know, they're looking at price levels that are extremely attractive to them. And they're also faced with rising input costs, cash rent levels going up, fertilizer costs increasing. And just from a risk management standpoint, they were willing to make some sales and then use the options to manage their risk on those sales.
Brian?
Yeah, I just to expound on your wheat basis before I get to my question, I think another thing that has been kind of common, maybe you can relate a little bit, but what we've been hearing with quality concerns from the processor standpoint, that maybe some of the wheat in the plains and where we've seen a lot of water may have some quality issues this year, maybe we haven't dealt with as much in the past. So another reason where we've seen the processor start to bid up for July wheat. But the other question I was going to ask you was, do you feel like later on this summer, regardless of the acreage, with the kind of stagnant start in, you know, in the western corn belt and then being dry in the east, do you think we have the ability to test and make new contract highs in corn?
I certainly think we do. You know, I think there's an opportunity to see the market move higher in corn. You know, from producers I talked with, there isn't anybody who's real happy with their start of the growing season. It's either been too wet in some areas to start off with, and they kind of mudded things in, or they got it in, and then they had some rainfall, or something's wrong with this crop, and they're not real happy with it. You know, the commercials have been pretty aggressive buyers in this area where we've built a pretty strong demand base in the between 390 maybe on the upside and 355, 360 on the downside. And I certainly think there's an opportunity for us to have some weather issues this summer. Maybe acres is an issue as well, and that we can take us back up close to those highs. But it's going to have to come from a weather-related issue.
Merrill?
Yeah, with your prices of corn and wheat pretty high, what are you doing for your producers, your livestock producers, to help them lock in some profitability?
Well, we've encouraged them to be good buyers last fall. They had the opportunity. Otherwise, they've been using option strategies to give themselves an upside potential. And certainly, if we can get to some sort of a break into the midsummer, if based off of weather or acres or something to drive prices down, we're going to use that as an opportunity to lock in some more feed costs.
Clayton.
Brian, what's your take on the funds here? It seems like the funds are certainly a different animal than what they were a couple of years ago with the, you know, increased advent of the index funds and so forth. Is that something you watch closely from out there? And how would you explain their behaviors being so different these days?
Yeah, you know, it's something we watch very closely. And they've been, you know, trying to follow a trend, and they're having a tough time in the corn market because it hasn't been trending. We've been trading basically in a trading range since the acreage report back on March 31. They've been piling into the beans, and if you look at the commitment of traders, the funds have exceeded the long position they had back in February when we made contract highs, and they're the ones that drove us to these contract highs. So from a speculative standpoint, we may be a little bit overbought. Open interest levels are, in fact, exceeded the area that we were back in February in soybeans. And the funds have been the ones that have driven this market higher, and I think they'll continue to do that. They're going to try and find something that's a trending market like they found corn last fall. And as soon as that corn market breaks either to the upside or the downside, they're going to be piling into it at market length.
And one last question from Ryan.
Yeah, just kind of expounding on the funds, what do you feel like what's the commodity this coming, the next 3 to 6 months, that you think funds may have more interest in getting in and owning at this point?
You know, I don't know that they've wanted to be a real fundamental trader, so if you look at something that's cheap from a historical standpoint, I think they're going to look to try and find something that's trending in their favor. If wheat is the one that takes off and starts to move higher because of demand news or breaking out of this downtrend, they'll be piling in, I think, into wheat, and certainly corn is always a favorite of the funds to follow.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Thank you for having me on.
Brian Hoops, president of Midwest Market Solutions in Yankton, South Dakota. And now a chance for a final word from our panelists, Brian Stark.
Borrowing a comment from one of my coworkers, it's not how you start, but how you finish. July rainfall and temperatures will tell the story for our corn crop.
Clayton Pope.
Boy, I can't argue with that. That is so true. We have the bulk of uncertainty still ahead of us. I think I'd be very conservative in my sales at this point as far as cash sales go, because this market can be so unforgiving. But I certainly think a person should at least have their finger on the trigger for some option strategies to put some kind of a floor underneath these prices.
Merrill Crowley.
I agree with Clayton. You need those puts underneath there to help protect you. And keep in mind, we keep talking about higher prices and higher prices. Profitability is what makes the operation continue to go. And these things can turn around and bite you very quickly. So keep your plan at hand and watch the markets and keep an eye on the skies for the rain.
We would like to thank our panel, Merrill Crowley of CNF Marketing in Crescent City, Brian Stark of the Andersons in Champaign, and Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities in Champaign. That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Remember, you can access Commodity Week programs and listen to daily agricultural programming on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is WILLAG.org. And you can receive this show weekly by podcast. Go to our website, WILLAG.org, and click on the red podcast link in the right navigation window. This is Dave Dickey.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at WILL.UIUC.EDU.